I think we all, if we're honest, can admit that sometimes our heart needs to be changed, doesn't it? We let things come into our heart. We let bitterness or unforgiveness or rebellion. We let other things mold our conscience instead of letting the Holy Spirit mold our conscience. This sitting on the screen, I just want to read this very quickly. I just thought of this. I want to just read it real quick before we get in our message. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, what happened? Peter was, he was asking the disciples who he was. Who do you say I am? They said, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. You know, some say you're John the Baptist. He asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter told him, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And here's the verse 18, the key verse I want to read. I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I got a revelation on this verse last night. It's not even part of this message, really, but it just came to me last night. I was reading this verse. It says, the gates of hell should not prevail against it. This is not talk. This, the word hell here is not talking about the hell that we talk about with eternal torment. It's talking about the realm of the physical dead. Then verse 21, Jesus goes on to say, they will crucify me, but on the third day I'll rise again. What he was saying was that even my death, my physical death, is not going to stop the church from being established. And here we are 2,000 years later, and the church is still going. Now, sometimes the churches get a little off kilter, and they go a little over here, out of their lane, and you're like, is this really a church? But the true church of God will always be until the Lord returns. I truly believe that. And the church is still very important. The local church has a great meaning in our lives, and the church needs to stand on the truth of God's word no matter what. We're not supposed to look like the world, church. We're not supposed to act like the world, and we shouldn't have to do gimmicks to get the world to come. If we stand on this principle that Jesus Christ died for us and the third day rose to grant us everlasting life, that should make us shout hallelujah all day long. Because I have a home, an eternal place. Death will never have me. The grave will never hold me, because Jesus broke the power of that death and that grave forevermore. Period. And that's what the church should be celebrating, the goodness of the power of God. And because of what he did, my heart has been changed. I couldn't do it on my own, but thank God he did it for me. So I just wanted to bring that verse out, that the church is going to keep going and nothing's going to stop it. His death didn't even stop it. In fact, we know when the new church began in Acts chapter 2. That's when the New Testament church started, on the day of Pentecost, whenever the Holy Spirit entered the upper room and filled all those 120. Then they went out, began to teach and preach and expound the word of God, and boom, the church is created. And it's still going today. And I'm thankful for the church. There are a lot of people that are against church. We were talking to somebody the other day at a restaurant that was real negative about church, and mentally cracked me up. I mean, he was just rambling on about how bad he'd been in this church, and all they want is this, you know. And Melanie said, well, it's like you're going to the wrong church. I was like, oh, you go, baby. You know, she got mad because he was bashing all churches because he wasn't happy with the couple he'd been to. You know, I mean, look, we are people. And as long as there's the Teresas and the Nancy Roses and the Stacys in the church, we're going to have problems. Right? We're going to have problems. Yeah, I love you. I sure do. I love having problems. And so, you know what? We are humans, and we're going to fail. We are the church. The people is the church. It's not the building. It's not how big something is or how small something is. That we are the church. We are the team. Yeah. You know, we remember the Titans. I'm sorry. We are the people, and we are the church. And it comes together with us. And so as we're on the same page, we talk about that Wednesday night, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one faith. We are the body of Christ. Yes. And if we are the church, and so don't let other people put the church down. Stand up for the church. So you know what? The church, the best thing since sliced bread. Actually, it came before sliced bread, I guess. I don't know if they sliced it back in the Jewish days or not. I'm not sure. But anyway, this is a great thing, because where else Can you come? Where can the Nancy Roses, the Sierras, the Barbaras, the Tonys, the Melanies, the Jameses, the Kens, the Nates, where can we all come to where we love each other? Amen. Not based on whether we say coffee or coffee. You know? Based on whether you got a Duke jacket on or a Carolina jacket on. We're going to love you. And we're going to accept you. The church is the place to where we all can come and we're sharing in one common thing together, loving our Jesus. And man, that just, there's power behind that. And there's hope behind that. And there's healing behind that. The church should be the last place. It's not being. It should be the last place that judgment rules. It should be the place where grace abides. Now let's look at Romans 6 this morning. This is Paul talking. He's talking about how Christians should be living a different life than they were before they were baptized into Christ. And we should. You know, if you're married in here, and a lot of you are, you're married, and there's things that bother your spouse, and you keep telling, I'm going to change, I'm sorry, I'll work on it. But you don't work on it. And you're the same, you get the same habits, and you don't change anything. You blow your nose right in front of church, whatever you want to do. It don't change. You're like, you know, Sherman's like, honey, I told you quit blowing that nose in front of church. I didn't go to the bathroom. That don't change, Sherman. I mean, that's just blowing her nose. Huh? Melody probably would rather you do that. I play it. Anyway, there are habits, right? I'm going to change. But if we don't change, nothing happens. It's not. Once you know something in your life needs to change, then we should allow that change to take place. Spiritually speaking, we have a lot of Christians who go to church, who you know, say they love Jesus. You know, like Don said that time, I love Jesus, but I still use bad words. I love Jesus, and I go to church, you know, and I do these things. But the lifestyle and our conduct and our behavior doesn't match our profession. I'm not saying we're going to walk like perfect saints and angels. We're not. But we ought to be different than we were before. There ought to be a transformation. There ought to be a change in our lives. And if there's not a change in your lives, and I'm not sure your heart's really been changed, because how your heart is how you will live your lives. This is why me and Melanie are naturally natured in different ways. We're natural alike in some ways, but we're natured different some ways. There's things in my life that will get on me, and it'll bother me. It'll bring me down. It'll sink me. I'll carry that. Where Melanie's like a duck with water, as the old saying. She can let things roll off her back and say, oh, well, quack on. That's her. That's not me. I'm one that lets things pull me down and bother me because that's, and I try to be like Melanie. I try to be, I don't care. I don't care either. I'll just walk away from it and not look. I don't care. And I try to be that way. And I realize I can't be that way because I doggone care. And I can't not care. No matter how much I don't want to not care, I still care. Because that's where my heart's at. It's hard to be something you're not. It really is. And so with Christians, there are many that profess, go to church, blah, 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 but they are not walking out really a changed heart. Verse 1, chapter 6. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Don't nobody here say amen to that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, if we say, okay, I used to be this person, but I'm not anymore. I'm a Jesus person now. My life's changed. If I say that and I say that I'm done with living the old lifestyle, then why am I still allowing the old lifestyle to rule my new lifestyle? It shouldn't be that way. If I say I've died out to that, I'm not that old man, I'm a new creation in Christ, then I should be walking like a new creation in Christ. The Bible says old things have passed away, all things have become new. So I should be reflecting my heavenly Father. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Our old lifestyle should have died at our moment of conversion. It should have died. We want to keep being who we are. hiding behind the label of a child of God or a Christian or a follower of Jesus. If we are a follower of Jesus, if our faith says it's changed us, then we should see that change in our lives. Yes. I've died out to it. I'm not that person. I'm not who I used to be. And I know we have battles. I know we have struggles. But we have to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to transform us from the inside out and change our hearts. Yes. It's our hearts got to be changed. Because, man, our hearts get a lot of pain. They get a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of fear, a lot of frustrations, a lot of jealousy, a lot of unforgiveness. And we become, we're in a society, I think, like none before, where we are in a victim society. That we blame our parents for the way we are. We blame our boss for the way we are. We blame our government for the way we are. We blame the police officers for the way we are. You know, we blame the church and our pastor for the way we are. Instead of stepping up and saying, you know what, I have nobody to blame. Jesus took my place. He paid the price. As I give my heart and life to him, I'm no longer a victim to anything anymore. Nobody owes me not a thing. Why am I walking around like I'm a victim whenever I'm a victor in Christ Jesus? I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I'm victorious through Christ Jesus. And so I think with our spiritual life, we use excuses like, well, pastor, if you're married to who I was married to, man, you'd be hitting a little ball noon, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I've got this anxiety issue, you know, so I've got to take a few drugs just to keep me. Because, man, if I don't, man, I just go, wow, I just go psycho, man. I'm like, you know, I'm wild, like the werewolf of the moon turns. You know, I got to take a little stuff, keep me down, you know. Or we justify, don't we? I think we justify why we do the things we do. Instead of saying, you know what, no, Lord, change my heart. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to reflect you, God. I want to have a relationship. So many times it's the sin in our lives, and I'm preaching to me too. It's the sin in our lives. It's the things that we battle in our lives that interfere with our walk with God. Yes. It interferes. It's a barrier that we can't press through because that's what's standing there. And we justify, well, I'll just do this socially, or I'll just do this occasionally, or I'll just do this now. Let the Holy Spirit. If you have been buried with Christ, here's the thing I guess I'm saying. I remember a day that when someone got saved, they seemed to really get saved. Remember them days? I mean, they really changed. You're like, man, you really got something real because you were a drinking, lying, cussing, swearing, nasty person. Thank you, Doc, for being a witness to that. Doc's like, yeah, talking to me. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes into your life. And he changes your mouth, he changes your eyes, he changes what you're hearing, what you're thinking, what you're doing, and you're not the same person that you were. You are different, and we're supposed to be different. It's a good thing that we're different. I see the church culture changing so much, and my concern is, I've been saying this for a long time, my concern is when the baby boomers are off the earth, what the church is going to look like. So, baby boomers, y'all can't go nowhere till I retire. Okay? I'm worried what the landscape's going to look like. Now, in here, we have some young people, which is beautiful. We have some millennials in here. We have several millennials couples in here, which is beautiful. We have kids in here, which is beautiful. But as a whole, it's that baby boomer generation that is the glue to most traditional churches. They're the glue for the serving of the church. Our security team, every one of them, other than Jeremy, who's out there this morning, every one of them is over the age of 55 or 60. Most of them's over 70. Remember the Andy Griffith, the old security guard in the bank? Wake up, Cletus, whatever his name was. Asa, yeah, Asa. It's the older folks that serve as a whole. And you know what? Thank God for the baby boomer giving. That's the glue to the most churches as well. And so, what was my point? Thank you. The change of the landscape is changing and it's shifting. And the church should still be about the presence of God, the power of God, the holiness of God, and how we serve that holy God. It shouldn't be about entertainment. It shouldn't be. I mean, if y'all didn't start YouTubing some of these church movements going on, and what they're doing in services, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is a church? It's like a nightclub. It shouldn't be that way. I want folks, they walk in here, I don't want somebody to say, oh, I came Sunday. It's like it wasn't even like a church, man. It was so cool. I'm failing as a pastor if they say that. It needs to feel like a church. This is not a Starbucks. It's not a carnival. It's not a ball game. It is a sanctuary where the Most High dwells. It's holy ground where angels trod. These seats should be filled with expectation of the glory of God filling this house to the brim, to where our hearts are changed and our lives are broken before Him. It should be where we feel the power and the presence of a holy God. Doesn't mean we can't have fun and we can't, you know, tell jokes and all that. But it does mean that we don't compromise the sacredity of God's holy word. We don't compromise that. And Paul is letting the people around his community know, look, you're saved by grace, yes. But if you're truly saved by grace, you've died into Christ, you should be different. Look at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, me and you, should walk in newness of life. Yes. Jesus died on a cross. Died. But 3 days later, He rose out of that water forevermore. He didn't come out like He went in. He came out different than He went in. He went in with all of our judgment and all of our sin. He went in with physical pain and physical misery, spiritual and emotional distress. He took all that upon Him and He buried it in that tomb. And it stayed in that tomb. But He did not. And when He came out looking a whole lot different than He did hanging at Mount Calvary. He looked a whole lot different. He was glorified. He was alive forevermore. He didn't have the stench of death or the stink of death. He was forevermore risen and looked a whole lot different than He did when He went down. That's our example, that when we go down in Christ and we come back up, whether it's water baptism, whether it's spiritual conversion, when we come up from that, we should be different and changed. That's what baptism is. We leave our old self in that water and we rise up with none of that stuff attached to us. We leave it buried in that water. That's who I was, but it's not who I am. It's who I used to be, but it's not who I am anymore. I was that person. Now I'm this person, glorifying my God and looking a whole lot different. We should have a newness of life. We all have battles and we all have struggles and we all have pain. But there really is no excuse when we have the power of His Spirit helping us. Really. I don't think we want help. I think sometimes it's easier to just stay in our sin and to live our lives with no commitment to changing that. Because changing that means, yes, you've got to give up things you like. You've got to give up things your flesh maybe desires. But as we know, sin brings no real pleasure. Sin just brings pain. It really brings long-term pain. It's like when you're on a diet and you're doing really good. You're on Weight Watchers, let's just say, I don't know, quote, for example. And you're on Weight Watchers, and you're counting your points. And you blow it one day really bad. And it was good. And you're glad you blew it. You're glad you got the brownie, hot brownie with vanilla ice cream and chocolate squirrel. It was so worth it, and you loved it. And you blew your day out of the water. It was wonderful. Eating that brownie to your, I'm good. And then 2 hours later, the price for that sin sets in. And you're like, what have I done? I was down 2 pounds. Now I'm back up 2 pounds. Over what? 15 minutes of pleasure. And now I feel puked and I feel sick and I'm overstuffed and I blew my points and I gained a pound over 15 minutes of pleasure. Sin has a great way of presenting itself as that's what you want. That's what you desire. I use the example of alcohol commercials all the time because you see the beer commercials and stuff and they're always having fun and the guys are always handsome like me and Nate, and the girls are always pretty, you know, like Melanie and Liz. You know, they're always, you know, they're always pretty, they're always handsome. You know, everybody's having a good time. You know, nobody's fat on a beer commercial. You ever seen that? There are no fat people. They're all size one and twos. And they're on there, and, you know, they look good, and they're handsome, and they're pretty, and they're slim, and they're partying, they're having a good time. They're at the beach, man. They're hitting the little volleyball, and, oh, everything's so wonderful. But there's people in my life that I deal with on a personal level that have alcohol issues that's destroying their lives. And they can't break free from it. It's destroying their lives. It's robbing them of their money, their peace, their marriage. It's robbing them. The commercial doesn't show you that, does it, Joe Brown? Doesn't show you the cost of alcohol. Doesn't show you the marriage that's been split up because of it. Doesn't show you the drunk driver that got killed or that killed someone. It doesn't show you all of that. It doesn't show you the other spirits it allows in. I'm going to tell you something. When you are drunk, I don't care what a good drunk you are, how controlled of a drunk you think you are, you're drunk. And you have no idea. Your reasoning and your judgment is off. And when you're drunk, you may go home with somebody not your wife. And that's not good. And then you don't even remember it. You wake up, you're like, you ain't mentally. How did I get here? It causes problems in our lives. It's not that God is taking all the, I don't want you to have no fun, Matt half from under your feet. He wants us to live our best life possible. And that means following God and doing it His way. Because here's what happens. When we are in those atmospheres, other spirits are around us. And they're latching hold of us. Look, I can't promise you what I would do if I was drunk. I couldn't promise you what I would do. I don't know what kind of drunk I'd be. I've never been drunk. I might be mean and one of them wife beaters. I don't know. I might be the one that strips off my clothes and dances on the table. I don't know. I've never been drunk. I don't know. What kind of drunk you think I'd be? You think I would? And when we allow the devil that foothold in our lives, it breaks our fellowship with God. You know, and I know some of you may even agree with this. If you do, then just agree with it on your own. I've had people argue with me that they hear God better when they're high or drunk. They hear God better because their senses are more enlightened. Come on, man. Come on, man. I mean, really? Come on, man. You can hear God more when you're high or when you're drunk. The Bible says to be sober-minded, doesn't it? More than once. Gird your loins and be sober-minded so there's clarity in what you're hearing. And we can justify the use of our sins all that we want, but it don't make it right, just in your world, but not in reality. We should have newness of life. Verse 5 gives us a comparison. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we should also be in the likeness of His resurrection. That's the problem. Oh, yeah, I get baptized. Put me down, preacher. Woo, I feel the Holy Spirit up in here. Go down, come up. Woo, I'm the same as I was. You didn't leave it behind. You came up the same way. Paul was saying, if you have died like Christ has died, Jesus didn't raise up the same way. Dead. He rose up alive. He didn't come out of the tomb still beaten and stricken and defeated. He rose out of the tomb overcoming death, hell, and the grave forevermore. If we have been buried with Jesus, then we must have the same comparison of, okay, this is how He was when I went down. This is how I was when I went down before Christ. But after Christ, I should reflect the new part of me. Just like Christ looked different in His resurrection than He did His crucifixion. I should look different. Some folks don't look a lot different. Their lives don't change because their heart's not changed. Do you realize for our heart to change, we have to be completely submissive and surrender it to God? We can't let pride be in the way, arrogance, rebellion. We've got to say, God, I need You to break me so You can fix me. because I don't want to be the person that I've been. I don't want to keep walking the way I've walked. I don't want to keep doing the things I'm doing. I do want to be changed. I do want to be different, God. I want my heart to be different because that reflects you. I don't want people to ever be confused that because we're under grace that there's no accountability to how we live our lives. That's not true. Yes, we're under grace. I absolutely believe that there is not one work any of us could do to be holy to God. Nothing. We are not saved by our works. We're not saved by our good behavior. But we are saved by His grace. And when we're truly saved, guess what? We will walk with good behavior. We will produce those Christian works because our heart's been changed. We learned that from the old movie Scrooge. What's the name of that movie? Christmas Carol, yes. Remember old Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. It was a greedy, evil person. And then them little angels come and start visiting him, right? He had a heart change, didn't he? Yes, and the Grinch too, yeah. They had a heart change. And at the end of that Christmas Carol, he was so excited it was Christmas. Go get the fattest turkey and all. I'm going, hey, it's Christmas. Woo, open the windows and shouting hallelujah. And they're like, I know that guy. He's on some good stuff. I mean, what's happened to him? He'd been changed. Throughout that night of angel visitations, his heart was changed. He saw for the first time what could be and what he had been. I think sometimes if we don't look in the mirror very hard ourselves, we don't have to face what we are. Let's look in the mirror really hard and say, God, this is who I am now, and I don't like parts of who I am. And it's hard to admit that I don't like parts of who I am. It's hard to admit that what I'm doing maybe isn't pleasing to you. It's hard to admit that maybe I'm wrong. But if we look at ourselves hard enough to recognize that and then say, okay, God, take this and change me. I'm ready. I'm ready for a real change. I'm ready not just to keep coming to church every week and just doing the spiritual thing and, you know, playing the church card. God, I want my personal life to be different in how I live it. How I talk, how I walk, what I do. I want to be different. We should reflect the resurrection, the risen Christ, not the dead one, the risen one. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ. We're dead. We've said, Lord, I'm not who I used to be. I'm killing this part of my life off. That the body of sin, our body, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Boy, that'd be just a good something for us to proclaim, wouldn't it, throughout our journey in life. I will not serve sin today. I'm not going to serve the sin that tries to present itself. I'm not going to serve that. When I get so mad that my lips start moving, I'm not going to serve sin and letting words come out that shouldn't come out of my mouth. I'm not going to serve it. I'm not going to be a part of other people talking about people or tearing someone down or gossiping. Nope, I'm not going to serve that. I'm going to be different. We think we don't have control because we use the excuse, I'm only human. Yes, we are only human. And yes, we are weak and we are frail and we are, I understand all that. We are. We are weak. But man, we have a strength inside of us that helps us. We have the mighty, holy Lord of all creation inside of us living and reigning and ruling. That we should be able to make decisions to overcome the things the devil puts in front of us. I know we're human. I know we're weak in our flesh, but we're strong in our spirit. And we can say, no, I'm not listening to that. I'm not doing that. I'm going to let God change my heart and serve you, Lord, every day. My day starts with you. My day ends with you. God, you are my source, not the sin. We got to quit justifying and saying it's okay, at least I'm not doing that, at least it ain't that bad, but God understands. Let's let God fix our heart. Verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Picture this visual. Most of us in here have been baptized. Remember the day that you got baptized. You're standing in that water. It's a minister, whoever, with you, and they're putting you under. And your mindset, what you're there to do is, I'm leaving my old life under this water and I'm coming up brand new. That was my mindset, and it changed my life. Doesn't mean I hadn't sinned. I've sinned 3 times since I got baptized. But it does mean that I'm different. Yeah, I just lied 4 times. So,
I remember I got baptized in 1980 under a tent. We had this thing of water, and I remember it was August of 1980. I got baptized, and I remember standing in that water, and my preacher, other people, men around me, putting me down, and it was so amazing. Something happened between the moment I went in that water and the moment I came up. In that split second, something happened. I didn't just come out wet. I didn't just come out, oh, that's cool, by faith I'm saved, you know, blah, blah. I felt something on the inside changing me. And when I came out of that water, the power of the Holy Ghost was upon me as a child. And I felt something on my flesh that was different than when I went in that water. I left behind who I was, and I came out who God wanted me to be. There should be a difference. When you're out in your yard mowing and you're doing your yard work and you come in, you're all nasty and smell like grass, you know, and you're just dirty and muddy. Do y'all ever take a shower and come out of the shower looking the way you did when you went in? I hope not either. If you do, you're a moron. I mean, right? You walk in that shower and you're soap and you're scrubbing all the dirt and grease off of your hands and feet and all the grass between your toes and, you know, whatever. You're scrubbing down and you come out and, Melanie said more than one time, man, you're like a new man. Yes, ma'am. I am a new man. What makes us think spiritually we should be, that's what's happening. We're saved. I give my heart to you, Lord, baptized, but then we're walking around still like working in the yard. All the grease, all the stains, all the stinking, all the smell, and you're like, I thought you got baptized. I thought you were saved. I thought you gave your heart to Jesus, but this is how you was before Jesus. Here's how you look after Jesus, and I don't see a lot of difference. There should be a change. There should be a change inside. God, my heart wants to serve you. I don't want to disappoint my calling you've called me to do. I want to honor you, God, and your word. Let the shower clean you today. Actually, use the soap. Verse 8. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Right. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died, look at this part. This is a powerful part of grace. In that he died unto sin, how many times? Once. But he liveth forever unto God. But he died once for sin. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dead to sin, but alive to God. No longer am I that person. I don't want to be that person. I'm tired of that person. This person is only keeping me defeated and discouraged and afraid and overcome, and I don't want to be that anymore. God, I want your glory. I want your peace. I want your joy. I want your hope alive inside of me. I don't want to be who I was. I want to be who you want me to be, God. I say that I've died out to this, but yet that's still what's being presented. That's what everybody's seeing. They're not seeing the newness. They're seeing the oldness still. Because the heart's got to be changed. You know, you don't marry someone. I mean, people do because of situations, but it usually doesn't work. It's not real. When people marry someone out of obligation, you know, an 18-year-old gets a girl, you know, pregnant. Well, I'm going to do the right thing and marry you. Well, if you don't love, if your heart don't love that person, hard for that to work. You know, we can say, yeah, I like the idea of being saved. I like the idea of following God. I like the idea of being a Christian. But your heart's got to be in it to say, Lord, I want all of you to have all of me, yes. Not part of me. I don't want to just give up. See, some of us can give up some things, you know, okay. Other things is harder to let go of. But God wants to take all of it away from us and say, I want you to be my vessel, holy and pure and clean before my eyes. Let me change you and cleanse you from the inside. Remember David, when he had an affair with Bathsheba over in Psalms, has this great psalm. He's pouring his heart out saying, Lord, you know, I've transgressed against you, you know, and I've lost the joy of my salvation. Lord, create in me a right spirit, a clean heart, and a right spirit. David was hungry to be right with God again. David, I don't think, questioned his salvation, but he knew things wasn't right with him and God. I don't like this, God. This sin separates me from the fullness of you. I don't like that. I want to be right. I want a right spirit within me. In that he died, likewise, verse 12, let not sin, let it not reign, let it not rule in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let sin be the one that enslaves you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. I understand someone that doesn't know the Lord, had never been convicted for whatever reason, or just doesn't care, is rebelling. They're going to let sin rule their lives. That's who they are. But once Jesus shows up, once you feel his touch and his spirit, once you're drawn to him, then there should be something to be able to let go and say, God, take me. I want all of you. I want to give all of me to all of you, Lord, to change me. We don't have an excuse anymore to still walk in sin when, if we say we've been buried with Christ. We can make excuses, but we don't really have one. Last verse here, 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't yield your members. That's your life. That's your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your feet, your actions, your conduct. Don't yield yourselves to unrighteousness, unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yes. Yield. We know what yield means. Whenever there's a presidential race going on, there's a word they use, right? Where the one that loses concedes the race. And they'll call conceding the race. You know? They are yielding themselves to them. We yield ourselves to God. Yes. Have your way, O Lord. Have your way. Not my way. God, have your way. And sometimes God's way is definitely not like our way. And we worry about that. I've had folks tell me, Pastor, I felt so drawn to the altar one, you know, certain times, you know, they'll come and serve. I felt so drawn to come, I didn't come because I just felt like that if I did, nothing would change. Anytime you are drawn, there's a reason. God is drawing you for a reason. Don't ever discount that. Don't let the devil talk to you, well, you're not going to change. You never do. You come before, you don't change. You talk to me, you talk to God, you don't change. I promise you, there's going to be a moment, there's going to be a time as you yield yourself to God, yes. He's going to change your heart. And it's going to be for real and forever, yes. To where your heart is changed. Let me read one more passage before we get out of here. This is 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Here it is. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, we all want obedient children, right? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Okay, before Jesus came, you were an idiot. And that's cool. Didn't know Jesus. But once Jesus shows up and speaks to you and you give your life to him, you're no longer in that same place of ignorance. You're not in that same place of lack of knowledge. You're not in that same, you can't say, I didn't know. Yeah, you did. Because you made a profession, yes, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come and live in my heart forever and take my old self away and create in me a new heart. I love you. I follow you. I'll serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you said that. So then when sin comes and you still are part of it, oh, I didn't know. That's a sin. Yes. You used to be ignorant. Before Doc got changed, he was ignorant. Right, Doc? Ignorant. Doing things his way. His life. It's my body. It's my habits. It's my life. Nobody can tell me what to do. Nobody controls me. I'm a big, bad, grown man. So back off, suckers. It's my life. Sure, it's your life. But your life has consequences if you live it your way. It's like your kids. They can listen to you or not listen to you. Most time they don't, right? You tell them. They got to learn themselves, go through all the same crap you went through. And then 30 years old, oh, you were right, you think? Yeah. But you didn't listen. You didn't listen. No more ignorance. Verse 15, as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. That means conduct, behavior. And the word holy means to be set apart from sin and set unto God. So what holy doesn't mean you don't make no mistakes. It means you set yourself apart from sin. You're making a conscious decision to say, you know what, no longer is sin and the way I've been living going to be the way I continue to live. I'm going to change that. I'm going to let God change who I am and be different and set my life now to serve God versus serving the devil. Serve God versus serving my sin. We all battle. I know that we all battle. But our hearts can really be changed if we allow the Holy Spirit to work. Skip down to verse 18, Brandon. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your lifestyle, your behavior, received by tradition from your fathers, but you are redeemed, verse 19 says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We, through Jesus, have been born again. Some folks don't understand that, and some church culture today don't even use that expression, born again, because they think it sounds retro or old-fashioned or whatever. But think about being born again. You know, we have some babies. We have Hunter in here. We have Emma Grace, yeah, sorry. I knew the name. We have Emma and we have Hunter here in the sanctuary. They're little kids, cute little kids, little boy, little girl. And they were born once. And both mamas will say, I was there, yes. They were born once. But what Jesus is talking about is both them little babies were born into sin. They were born into a sin world. They were born into a sin nature. They were born in sin nature because Carrie and Chris are in a sin nature. Because Kevin and Krista are in a sin nature. And that sin nature passed on to their seed. And so what must happen is we must be born a second time, reborn again unto Christ. And that's what the Bible means about being born again. Yes, we're born one time. Remember Nicodemus says, can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? He was missing the point. No, not talking about physical birth. You were born one time into the sin. You were born one time in the world. But you must be born again unto Christ. Which means that you change. You're not the image of what you were the first time. The sin nature now has been absolved through the blood of Jesus. So now you are righteous before God because of this grace. But we must surrender to that. And we must be willing to let God change our hearts and our life and our behaviors. And sometimes we really don't want that. I think that's the problem. Close out here, it's a couple more verses. Who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last times for you, who by him you believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Man. And then 23, last verse. Being born again. Here it is. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Those next two verses talk about we're all like grass. We're here for a day, gone. You know, we're perishable. But the word of God is forever. It remains forever. Sickness, disease, tragedy, accidents, you know, murder, whatever. Nothing can stop the forever word of God from us living on beyond that. If our hope's in Christ. Are you ready for a heart change in your life today? Because I think what's happened, I'm just as a pastor, I keep up with other things happening in the ministry world, and I see a lack sometimes of the word of God being preached in a way that holds us accountable to follow God. And I think it's important that's our foundation. God's still holy. His word's still true. And yes, grace is real, but at the same time, real grace changes our heart. to where we live differently. There's things in our lives that are in our lives the devil puts there that we battle, that we fight against, that we maybe can't get free from, that, you know, lust of the mind, lust of the flesh, vices, addictions, you know, foul mouth, things in our lives that we know are wrong, and we've not let the Holy Spirit really help us with that. God wants your heart today. And when he's got your heart, your life will be different. God is not just head knowledge. There's a lot of folks that know God here, but don't know God here. I know a lot of folks can quote scriptures and tell you everything about the Bible, but their lives don't produce the life of a walking, living Christian. And I'm not talking, church, about just the big sins that we call the big sins, the adulteries, the drunkenness, the fornicators, the thieves and liars. There are many of us in here that can't keep our mouth shut, right? We talk about people. We gossip about people. We tear people down. We don't build them up. That's a sin, too. We sow discord among other people. We like drama. We live for drama. And the more drama we can stir up, the happier we are. That's a sickness, y'all. I mean, that's a sickness. For somebody else to be miserable makes you happy, something's wrong. Man, the Bible says that we rejoice with those that rejoice, and we weep with those that weep. If Ken back there's got a battle going on, we shouldn't dox him back there going, "Woo, we got a battle. Well, I ain't got no battle. Oh, well, bless his heart. Oh, well, woo, stay on down there, brother, because I'm up here and you down here, and it makes me feel better about myself." Dox me reaching across the aisle, right, and pulling Ken up and encouraging him. First, if our heart is not right, it breaks our fellowship with God. There's things that are blocking that flow, whether it's unforgiveness. And there's some of us in here that have, we have unforgiveness in our hearts that's in there. We have bitterness in our hearts. We're angry. Maybe even angry toward God about some things. You know, let God change your heart today. Say, "God, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be unforgiving. And I don't want my mouth to be used for anything but your glory. I don't want my hands to be used for anything but your glory, God. I don't want to be used but anything but to show the world who my Father is." Come on up here, Marjorie, if you would, and play something. If you want your heart changed today, let's do that before we leave. If God is speaking to you to surrender all today, surrender all of your ways, all of your habits, all of your vices, just all of the things you're carrying inside, and say, "God, I want to walk in newness of life, because the way I'm walking now is failing me, and I don't like where I'm at. And I'm ready, God, to surrender." Fathers, we have this part of the service. I pray you speak to hearts today. God, they will make that trip up here this morning to stand here before you, a holy God, and surrender all their heart to you. And say, "God, I do want to be baptized unto your death today. And I want to raise up out of this a brand new person. I want to leave everything old behind today, God, and I want to raise up brand new." I pray, God, hearts will respond this morning. I pray that in Jesus' name. Just play a little something. Don't sing, Marjorie. If you want to come up right now, give all your heart to God, come up here and stand with me. Let's pray together that our hearts will be surrendered to God right now. "God, here I am, and I want all my old ways to be dead. I want to bury who I am and what I've been. And I want to raise up this morning as a brand new creation in you." If that is you, church, come on up here. Thank you, Jesus. Let God speak to you this morning, church. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to give God a chance today. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your pain. He knows your doubts. Even right now, as you're sitting there, He knows your doubts. But he is stronger than your doubts, and he's stronger than your pain, and he is stronger than your fears. He's stronger than all your uncertainties you're feeling right now as you sit there. Just trust him with your life. Trust him with your heart. Trust him. Trust him this morning. Let him bury all that stuff. Let him bury it. Anybody else? I got one person up here. I'm not going to drag this service out. If God is speaking, you need to respond this morning before we pray. God, let it be buried right now in that sea of forgetfulness. And let her rise from her ashes a brand new creation in you. Use her tongue, God, in a brand new way. Use her feet to march in a brand new order. God, use her voice to declare your goodness in a brand new way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, as Mindy surrenders all of herself to all of you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just let her, cover her with all your glory. In the name of Jesus, that she will walk in a newness, a new newness actually, a new newness of life starting this day and this moment in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus, for your presence as this family buries everything, God. Leaves it right here at this altar. And when they rise from their knees, let them see you in a brand new way. Let their hearts feel different. Let their eyes see different. Let their ears hear different. All that you have planned for them in the name of Jesus. Take these two hearts and completely, God, transform them, shape them, mold them, and lead them in all that you've called both of these vessels to do for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Name. Hallelujah.
Fire so bright, the whole world. with all that we finish
in the name of Jesus.
With all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me.
Father, we thank you this morning for your presence, for your Holy Spirit, God, that is in place right now. For the heaviness of our hearts, for the burdens, God, for the struggles, for the fears and doubts, for every heavy heart today, God, you said, cast our burdens upon you because you care for us. Lord, your burden is light, and we want to throw that on you today, God. We ask you just take what's in our hearts and you bury those things that are obstacles, that we raise out of this, God, refreshed and renewed as we surrender. But God, we must surrender. We must stand before you and say, God, I surrender all of me to all of you this morning. Be with your people, God, and be with the hearts of this place, and let them know that you are alive and risen and active and reigning and ruling forevermore. We thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence that's touched us today. Thank you for your visit today, Lord. Thank you for showing up in this place. We give you praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.